Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Tuesday, July 8th. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us today on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane, in for Rob Hart. On AI voice impersonator posing as the U.S. Secretary of State, sparking some global concerns over security, misinformation, and diplomacy. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But first on this Travel Tuesday, as popular travel spots overflow with crowds, navigating the surge along with rising tourist backlash and local fatigue can be increasingly challenging. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Mark Walters of Walters World Travel and Culture on YouTube, also Associate Professor of Business Administration at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business at Urbana-Champaign. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour. Let's start with that core problem. A lot of these tourist spots around the globe are just getting overcrowded. What should people know?
Well, the thing is, you do have cities that are overcrowded, like Barcelona, Dubrovnik in Croatia, Venice. These places really do get a lot of tourists. And what we've seen is we traveled literally the last month throughout Eastern Europe and had zero problems with over-tourism. So some of these bigger spots really do have a lot of people going there. And one of the biggest things you can do is just go to other destinations where you can really have a good impact, a positive impact, as opposed to the over-tourism impact in places like Barcelona and Venice.
So, Mark, if you are determined to go to one of these spots that maybe is experiencing overcrowding, you got to think that that is a pain for the locals. And I'm sure they're not thrilled about, whether you're coming from a new area and kind of taking up their space, maybe taking their regular table. What do we see from the locals in these areas? And what are some of the ways that the tourists can maybe navigate some of those frustrations?
Probably the most famous things we've seen is the water guns in Barcelona, with people protesting and shooting tourists while they're sitting at cafes. That is not as popular as the news makes it seem to be, but there are some things you can do. Like, one of the big things you can do is really shopping local, like go to local boutiques, go to local mom and pop restaurants, and then you're really putting money back into the community as opposed to a big box store where it doesn't have as much of an impact on the local community. Because once you're in the local stores and you're eating the local food and shopping the local things, the locals recognize that and they appreciate that. They say, hey, you're really trying to help us out, versus you're just here hitting the McDonald's, hitting the Starbucks and staying at the chain hotels. There's things that you can do that really help you kind of become more respected by the locals. And some of that is just respecting the locals themselves, because when the tourists are stopping in the middle of the sidewalk and the group of tourists are blocking the entire way and people can't get to work, I mean, if you're in Chicago and people are in the way, you're telling them to get out of the way. That same kind of upset thing happens when you travel, and we just need to remember some of the common courtesy things goes a long way to get people not to be despising the tourists out there.
And Mark, you know, if you're looking to avoid, especially maybe the water gun fire in a popular spot, you mentioned your travels here in the recent weeks. When you think of maybe an off the beaten path destination that Americans would love, that maybe they won't have to worry about, you know, not frustrating the locals, maybe they have more space. Where does your mind go?
For me, what we've seen, places like Poland, Romania, Slovakia, basically Central Europe, Eastern Europe, you do not, like, we traveled literally for a month, and we were literally sometimes the only tourists in the cities that were there from outside that country. So you have those options. But I know some people, like, look, I want to visit Paris. I want to visit Italy. Well, there's places you can go instead of just being in Paris. Maybe go to the Loire Valley, go to Normandy, and stay in some of the villages there and some of the smaller towns. And what's great about that, you get to learn about the culture. You have a better chance of having local food and meeting local people and hanging out with them. And so you get even much more of a robust, like, cultural experience when you go there. Because, you know, when you go to a big city, it's a big city. So it's harder to have that kind of authentic, you know, experience of, you know, old France when you're in Paris. And that's why sometimes just getting out like a couple hours outside of the city can make a big difference. It's kind of like going to the Dells for the weekend. You know, it's like giving you a whole different perspective of going to the U.S. than if you're going to Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely a trip to the Dells, maybe a little different than France, but definitely some similarities there. Really helpful stuff. That's great stuff. Mark Walters, thanks so much for joining us. Walters World Travel and Culture on YouTube, also Associate Professor of Business Administration at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business, Urbana-Champaign. Coming up, an AI voice hoax triggering some global diplomatic and security concerns.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, an imposter recently used AI-generated audio to pose as Secretary of State Marco Rubio, contacting foreign ministers and U.S. politicians, raising some red flags about misinformation, security, and the diplomatic risks. Joining us now to discuss is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at AndrewBush.com. Andy, thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour. Pretty frightening stuff. We've been hearing it on some of the national broadcasts as well. What can you tell us about this kind of AI-generated audio that is really leading to some concerns here?
Well, it's gotten a lot better. You only need about 10 to 15 seconds of someone's voice to be able to recreate that person and use the AI to basically text to voice. And so that's pretty much, I believe, what was happening with the Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Apparently, this individual, this imposter, contacted foreign ministers, a U.S. governor, member of Congress, by sending them voice and text messages that mimic Rubio's voice and writing style. So that's what's pretty scary about this. Now, this isn't the first time this kind of stuff's happened. Going all the way back to 2020, there was a deep fake on a UK energy executive that cost £220,000. Then people probably don't remember that was the fake Biden robocall in New Hampshire in 2024, the deep fake Zelensky video ordering a surrender in 2022. Probably one of the biggest ones, most expensive ones, was fraudsters imitating a Hong Kong CFO. That cost that company $25 million. So these things are always going on. They're just, with AI, better and better and better and more sophisticated.
So, Andrew, you know, you talk about, obviously, this is not the first time, obviously, you know, aside from foreign governments, U.S. officials, you know, being trained to kind of detect some of this deepfake communication, what other, you know, protections are there, or maybe signs that some of this is AI generated and be coming from imposters?
It's really tough to tell just listening. So the key to doing this, to avoiding this issue, is to have a buzzword or a password, you know, especially if you get a call from your spouse or your significant other says, hey, I just found this great deal. I'm at the store. Can you Venmo me, blah, 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 a certain amount of money or to an account? The best thing you can do is, okay, yeah, great. What was our, you know, what's our buzzword to do that? Or what's our password to do that? And if they can't come up with it, then you know it's completely fake. And that's what I think people have to start understanding, is that that's how sophisticated this is. You really can't tell the difference. It used to be before, you know, the words wouldn't come out right. That isn't the case anymore. And the thing that I want people to know is today is the worst AI you'll experience for the rest of your life. It's only going to get much better, much more believable. So you got to be prepared for these kind of things.
Really frightening stuff that we will definitely be keeping an eye on here moving forward. Thanks so much. That's Andy Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com. Up next, Chicago deep dish pizza chains are pushing national expansion. But can they satisfy Americans' appetite coast to coast?
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, several of Chicago's iconic deep dish pizza chains are now eyeing national expansion. Joining us to discuss is RJ Hodevy, head of analytical research at Palo Alto-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. RJ, good to be with you here on the Noon Business Hour. You know, let's get right down to it. You know, deep dish pizza, it could be a bit of a polarizing topic. Is the rest of the country ready to embrace that style as maybe a national go-to pizza?
That's a great question, and I think that's the question on everyone's minds as we see new leadership at a couple of the Chicago firms, Lou Malnati's and Giordano's here. And I think it's an interesting question just because we have seen some other Chicago stalwarts, the Portillo's and others, expand nationally. They tend to see a little bit lower volume in the stores outside the Chicago area than they do in the Chicago market. But I think given that we've seen a lot of migration, we see some of these stores opening up in locations that Chicago. One's typically vacation in. I think it's worth an idea exploring, but I think it's also one they have to be careful about.
So, RJ, let's talk finances here. Obviously, rising costs. There's a lot of economic uncertainty right now. And also the fact that, you know, look, when people are maybe calling it a night or want to have a cheap option, you know, you could go a route like Domino's, Papa John's, Pizza Hut, something like that. How will, you know, whether it's Giordano's, Lou Malnati's, whatever may have you, how will they kind of keep up with the financial aspects here, again, with those kind of economic uncertainties and also just cheaper competition?
You're right. I mean, if you look at the pizza category overall, there is a lot of competition. And, you know, you mentioned the number of the chains that are out there, Domino's and others. But we've also seen disruption from the grocery category and cheaper options there. The frozen pizza that you can get at a grocery store, I think, has become a big competitor to a lot of the pizza chains. At the same time, I do think that Chicago deep dish pizza is a different category in its own right. And, you know, while it indirectly competes with some of the other QSR pizza category chains, I think, generally speaking, when people go into a Chicago deep dish pizza place, they're looking for a different experience than what they are in value. So I think that niche, that authenticity that the Chicago pizza places offer really helps them stand out. Now, the question is how much demand overall, and certainly some chains can get into trouble by overexpanding, particularly in new markets where the brand is not as familiar. And I think that's a challenge facing a lot of these Chicago brands as they look to go national, is finding the right balance between growth and profitability here.
You know, RJ, you mentioned Portillo's a little earlier as well, and I'm curious, kind of, you know, when you talk regional identity here, when you talk, you know, Chicago-style hot dog, Chicago-style pizza now with deep dish, does an identity like that help in the financial market with consumers, or does it maybe do the opposite?
I think generally it helps. I mean, when we look at visitation trends across any number of restaurant chains, I think those that tend to stay true to their authenticity and their roots generally outperform. I think people, if you see a chain trying to pass themselves off as a Chicago pizza place without having kind of that true identity and the roots within the brand, I think it makes it more difficult. And I think that at least gives them a higher probability of success is that they've well-established a brand. Maybe they're just not as well-known in other markets, but they certainly know, the product is out there and people know what it is. So I think that gives them at least a higher probability of success as they look to expand nationally. Obviously, you mentioned the expenses part of it too, and it has gotten much more expensive to open up new restaurants, whether it be building costs, just getting the contractors, even food costs in general too have gone up. So I think that's made it more challenging. But I do like the fact that they have a well-established brand, particularly in the markets that they're in. And I think that they stand for authentic products too, and I think that gives them a higher probability of success.
Always love a segment that gets you a little hungry right around lunchtime. Thanks so much. That is RJ Hodevy, head of analytical research at foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, discover underrated U.S. destinations with charm, natural beauty, and smaller summer crowds.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. Well, stocks trading mixed so far today, and joining us now in the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Larry Adam, Chief Investment Officer of Raymond James. Larry, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, so we are barreling into the second half of the year here. Obviously, stocks mixed today. Your thoughts on the markets here overall as we wrap up 2025?
Well, today we're just having pretty much a quiet day because if you think about it, a lot of the news has already occurred. You know, the big, beautiful bill has already been passed. The July 9th tariffs have been forestalled until August 1st. We really don't have earnings until next week. And then there's really not a lot of big economic news really on the docket until next week when we get the inflation number. So I think that's why it's been a little quiet today. Between now and the end of the year, I would say we're probably going to get a little bit of weakness before we get some strength at the end of the year. And one of the things that I point to investors is the fact that we've had a significant rebound in the equity market. And if you think about it, we've recovered the losses of that nearly 20% in 90 days. That's much quicker than what we saw during COVID, where it took 127 days. And then the last time when we had these trade worries back in 2018, it took 147 days. So we've had a very rapid recovery, and I just think the market needs to digest here for the next several months.
You know, Larry, a lot of uncertainty, you know, especially around the trade and the tariff talks. Your thoughts on maybe the biggest threat to the financial markets for the rest of the year?
Well, I think the biggest threat is that eventually we're going to see these tariffs impact the market and the economy. And I think those tariffs are ultimately going to lead to a temporarily slowing of the economy. I think it's going to lead to a temporary increase in inflation, which tends to be bad for multiples, and it could drive interest rates higher. And then ultimately, I think they're going to weigh on earnings because whether it's the consumers buying less or because prices move higher, or if companies are actually forced to absorb their costs, which could negatively impact their margins, I think that could weigh on the markets, at least here in the near term. And that's why I think selectivity is so critical. So I would tend to focus on those areas that have a little bit more margin or buffers, if you will, to absorb taking or absorbing some of those tariffs that are going to be coming.
You know, you mentioned those areas of the markets and may be able to withstand some of the trade areas and the tariffs there. Any other areas of the market right now, Larry, that maybe are especially attractive at the moment?
Well, the areas that I continue to like are technology. I still think we're very early in the AI cycle, and I think that's going to be a big driver of earnings. When I look at valuations, contrary to what many people think, if you look at a five-year average for those big mega cap tech stocks, they're actually more attractive than they've been on average over the last 5 years. And then when I do look at earnings, keep in mind that technology consistently beats its earnings. And the reason I bring that up is because when you look at those valuations, they may look expensive, but if you were to factor in the historical beats that you see, They're probably not as expensive. And then the final point that I think a lot of investors overlook is the fact that these technology companies are spending a tremendous amount of money in R&D, which is coming out of their earnings because they're paying for it now. But that tends to lay the groundwork for these investments to pay off in the future. And I think you're starting to see that because the cash flow from these investments are starting to pick up.
Larry, we're also going to read on the Fed policy and maybe how that plays into the markets and the overall outlook here for the rest of 2025.
Sure. I think that the Fed ultimately cuts two times this year. You know, one thing I do want to keep in mind, though, is that, you know, the Fed has been waiting for these tariffs to go into place, right? And in fact, they've said it multiple times that they would have probably started to cut if not for these tariffs. So one thing that I think we got to be cautious of is the fact that now that the tariffs aren't going to go or be increased until August 1st, that could potentially forestall when the Fed starts to cut. But we believe by the end of this year, the Fed will cut by two more times and then at least another two times next year. And that's why we're still fairly optimistic about the equity market when I look out over the next 12 months or so.
And Larry, finally, you touched on a few of the areas that maybe are standing out to you here. But your advice to the individual investor who's maybe taking a more cautious approach, you know, with the tariff talks as well. But your advice to those who are looking at the markets and thinking about making some moves here before the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we continue to be optimistic on the equity market. I think one key stat that I always talk to investors about that's kind of humbling, and that is that if you go back to 1980, and whether you bought on the days of a record high or any other day, for the most part, the market has had the exact same return when you look out over the next 12 months. And my message is that it's very hard to time the markets, but if you have earnings moving higher, which they are, if you have the Fed cutting, which they will, if we avert a recession, that tends to be a pretty good environment to continue to invest in the equity markets longer term.
Thanks so much. As always, that is Larry Adam, Chief Investment Officer of Raymond James. Up next in Travel Tuesday, escape the crowds, discover scenic, budget-friendly, underrated summer vacation destinations. It's
because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Where it is Travel Tuesday, time now for part two. If you want to escape the crowds this summer, skip the big-name hotspots, discover America's lesser-known travel gems. And these under-the-radar destinations offering an outstanding experience without the long lines or the sky-high prices. We welcome in now Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com. Cindy, thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour today. I think we can all agree that crowds can often take the joy out of vacations, maybe especially if you've got little ones with you. What are some of the top alternatives if you want to get away this summer, but you kind of want a little bit of personal space as well?
Well, I have a couple of ideas that are really easily accessible from Chicago. And one of my first ones, and it always surprises people when I say this, is Indianapolis. Excuse me, if anybody's been to Indianapolis in recent years, it's a super charming city, very walkable, lots of stuff to do on the downtown. And if you've got kids, it's got really the country's best children's museum. The Indianapolis Children's Museum is there. And the zoo is also really beautiful and accessible. And it's all right in the White River State Park, easy to get to. There's water. They've recently built a 10-mile bike and walking path that connects all the neighborhoods in the city. So if you don't have kids and you want to explore a little further, you can take a nice long bike ride and explore the outer parts of Indianapolis.
So Cindy, give us maybe your top three. Give us two more. We're taking notes here.
Okay. All right. Well, I also am a big fan of the Quad Cities because it's on both sides of the Mississippi River, which is always beautiful. The scenery there is gorgeous, super affordable. You can take a fun, quirky riverboat ride on a paddle wheel ship. You can rent bikes there and ride the bike path. If you're sensing a theme here with the biking, I think it's great to do in the summer. Lots of stuff to do, very affordable. If you have little kids, or actually, I suppose, big kids, you don't want to miss the free John Deere Museum where you can climb all over these giant tractors. We never managed to drive past Quad Cities without stopping there and letting the kids play for a while. And then Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is another one of those places where people are like, really? Why would I go to Pittsburgh? My husband and his friends drove there and did a guy's weekend to go to a baseball game. It's an entirely reasonable, maybe 8-hour drive from Chicago. Maybe not an overnight trip, but if you've got a little longer to go, and there's plenty to do there. Lots of beautiful architecture. The rivers are there. Great foodie scene, like Indianapolis, also a surprising foodie place, and less crowds. And the other thing that people don't think about, you know, people think the summer I should go to a national park. Well, you know, they're all overrun these days too, the U.S. national parks. So I always tell people to look for state parks because they're often underpopulated and beautiful. And so, you know, you can have a really quiet walk there and pretty much have the path to yourself. My favorites are, the closest one I think is Starved Rock in Ottawa. And I think it's just beautiful there. It was the place that we would go for a day trip, you know, whenever we had more than a couple of hours and we could go take a nice walk. The kids loved it. It was beautiful. The other one, you know, everybody knows about Indiana Dunes, right? Just over the state line in Indiana, but it can get quite overrun, especially on a 95 degree summer day. So we loved going up the other side of the lake to Sleeping Bear Dunes, which is truly one of the most beautiful places in the world. The dunes are just towering. And the thing you need to know there is it's very tempting to want to run down the dunes because it's all the way down to the water, you can see. But there's a sign posted right there that says if you try to do it and you can't make your way back up and they have to help you, it costs $3,000.
That is a costly run. Good to know. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one taking notes here along the way. Tons of great spots, great recommendations as always. Thanks so much. That is Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com. Join us this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday and still to come, the latest on gas and oil prices.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, some analysts are now predicting oil prices could dip below $60 a barrel as OPEC Plus boosts supply, raising questions about how that could impact gas prices at the pump. As we welcome in now Patrick DeHaan, senior petroleum analyst at GasBuddy.com. Patrick, thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, so we mentioned the analysts that are predicting those lower oil prices. Is that something that you are seeing as well?
Well, it's certainly something that as we get into the off-peak season for gasoline and fuel consumption, that's certainly becoming a very distinct possibility here, especially in the fall. We're only $8 a barrel away from falling back below that $60 barrel mark, and OPEC has continued to ratchet up output even ahead of their wildest expectations, something that does look to continue until these cuts from 2023 are completely unwound. So it does look bearish for oil here as we get into the second half of the year. And I would say that potentially by October, we could see oil prices declining as global oil inventories will start to climb in light of the additional output from OPEC.
And so, Patrick, what does that mean for those of us at the pump, and how quickly may we see that impact here at our local gas stations?
Well, now, for the rest of the summer, I would expect that gas prices across Chicagoland would continue to hold below $4 a gallon, the statewide average down 42 cents from last year at $3.39. There's the growing possibility that by later this year, we could see gas prices, yes, in Illinois even below $3 a gallon. Probably not so much here in Chicagoland. That is still a possibility, but I would say that by the end of the year, the statewide average could be pressing up against that $2.99 level. With plenty of lower prices in our neighboring states of Wisconsin and Indiana. So lower gas prices are coming, but we still have the rest of the summer to get through a couple of low-level refinery snags, not likely to boost prices in the short term, but the long term as we get into the fall certainly looks very good with falling gas prices.
We like to hear that. But curious, Patrick, if there's any maybe risks geopolitically that could reverse that price trend.
Well, you know, OPEC suddenly has shifted their policy. If they somehow deviate and shift back, potentially we could see a different outcome. But the other major wild card here as we get into the bulk of the summer, the prime of the summer, is really hurricane season. If there are any disruptions in the Gulf Coast of U.S. oil production, that could throw a wrench into those sub-$3 prices that we may see nationally. Or, of course, as you mentioned, the Middle East, always a prime candidate for potential escalations now with an increase in activity between Israel and Iran. It's quiet for now, but geopolitical tensions in the Middle East certainly could also throw a wrench into the possibility of sub-$60 oil.
A lot to keep an eye on, but apparently good news at the pump. We love to hear that. Thanks so much. That is Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst at GasBuddy.com. A reminder that you can find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour online at WBBMNewsRadio.com as well as on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.